You're listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show, making the world a better place, one show at a time. You're listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show, making this world a better place one show at a time. At least we're trying.
This is Chicago's finest internet radio show, making a world a better place, one show at a time. The George Wilder Jr. Show is now on the air. Take it away, Dad.
Wow, thanks for being here. Wow, it's been a long weekend. I was on Friday. I went on Friday because there was some screw-ups on Thursday. We had the internet went down. At least my internet went down on Friday, and I couldn't host the show because of that. But anyway, we made up for that on Friday, this past Friday. So it's been a really hectic and rocky weekend for me, but I'm here and I'm glad to be here. And We're starting Monday off, and it's a great day in Chicago. I hope it's a great day wherever you are, all around the world. I hope it's great. I hope you're in good spirits and in a good mood. Do not be depressed. I talked about depression later on today, and I may talk about depression a little bit more because a lot of people are depressed, and it is a disease and it can kill. But anyway, let me go on and say, the weather, it's great. Folks, this has been one of the greatest summers I think I've ever known in the city of Chicago. It's been hot, but hey, wow, it's been great. It's been sunny. It's been beautiful. I'm working on a new story, some more stories, and I'm enjoying myself as I write them, as I conjure them up, as I pick my brain for ideas on these new and exciting, some of the best writing I think I've done. I'll let you guys know when that is out. You can always go to my Amazon page and follow me. So whenever that stuff is published, you will be the first to know, hopefully. All right. Like I said, it's been a hectic weekend. So I'm going to try and do what I can do here. My guest today is Mike Vinny. And we're going to have plenty of commentary. We're going to talk about Donald Trump, what the hell everybody else is doing it. And whatever comes to my mind, whatever you want to talk about, 347-857-1762. If not, just sit back and relax and podcast the show for later. There is no you're not mandatory to listen to the show. If you're busy doing other things, you can always listen later. That's why it's called a podcast. That's why you can download it or just listen to it online, whatever. You know, listen to it in your car, on your iPhone, smartphone, whatever. I mean, computer, tablet. My show is always available. It's available all around the world, and I hear that it's doing pretty well. It should be. I put a hell of a lot into it. All right, you've been listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Blog Talk Radio. Make sure you follow me on Facebook. Make sure you follow me all over the place. All right, the latest thing in and this is some crap. Donald Trump. I mean, if you think about it, Donald Trump looked into the camera. Look, I really don't like talking about Donald Trump, but this guy could wind up being president, and that's something we do not want. That's something I'm trying to help to stop. So, you never know. But in the latest polling, Hillary has pulled ahead because of her convention, the Democratic convention. There's no doubt about it that the Democratic convention was a lot better than the Republican convention. And I'm not saying that because you think I'm a Democrat. I am not a Democrat. I'm independent. And I look at things, I have an objective view the way I look at certain situations. And I did put two and two together. I did contrast the conventions of last week and the week before. And there's no doubt about it. It was the Democrats who came out on top. But Donald Trump saying somebody rigged it. It was rigged. And then he tries to distance himself from his convention, saying, well, I just showed up. I didn't do anything. I just showed up. He's always trying to deflect whatever attacks are coming his way, whatever valid attacks are coming his way. He's always trying to deflect them. And I've been watching Donald Trump, and I've been listening to Donald Trump, and it's always – I mean, they're right. They were right at the Democratic convention. Donald Trump, he's me, kind of a guy, as if he can – as if he's taking on this by himself, as if he's going through this whole situation alone. You know, there's nobody around him. There's nobody better than him. There's nobody who could do it like him. He's the greatest. He's the one. He wants to be our king. Some people say he wants to be our dictator. But to me, I'm going to say king because he acts like he wants to be our king. You know, and that's not going to happen. So therefore, in the latest poll, Hillary Clinton has pulled ahead of Donald Trump by, I believe, 7 or 8 points. That's the latest poll, okay? The latest. Let's hope she can stay in front, you know, because a lot of Donald Trump supporters, I mean, they are supporting this guy no matter what. I mean, he actually told the Russians to hack Hillary Clinton's email. He made that clear. This guy looked directly into the camera and said, Russia, are you listening? Basically, hack her emails and let me see. You know, and the thing is, the next day, the Russians hacked her email. They hacked her email. And the press is not, you know, I mean, they're not reporting this as loudly as they should be. Donald Trump should be locked up. And then he comes out and saying that it was sarcasm. It was not a damn joke. You don't joke like that. Tell another foreign or rogue-ass country to hack into a presidential opponent's email. You don't do that. That's treason. That's traitorous. You know, you can go to jail for that. You should be disqualified for that. A lot of people are saying that he should be disqualified. I think he should be disqualified, but they're letting Donald Trump just sprout on, go on. This guy should be taken off the stage. He should be disqualified. He now criticized this Muslim couple who are on stage. You might have heard this. I'm pretty sure you have. It's all over everywhere. He's criticizing these two Muslims who have these parents, Muslim parents who've lost their child in an American war. And now he's getting a lot of backlash from veterans all around the United States. And he's saying he's the victim in all of this. Donald Trump said, he's talking. Why can't she say something? I mean, Donald Trump, I mean, this guy is totally unfit. There's no way he should have gotten this far. And there's so many people out there, Republicans, who are out there repudiating him, but they will not withdraw their support. That doesn't make sense. That doesn't make sense at all. In my estimation, the Republican Party is dead. I mean, this guy is taking the Republican Party through the damn mud, and they're still supporting him simply because they don't want a Democrat in the White House. But they want this fool, Donald Trump. I mean, now I'm hearing that Donald Trump is trying to get out of the, he's trying to get out of the debates, if I can say it, with Hillary. He's trying to find a way out of the debates because we all know Hillary is going to wipe the floor with this guy. Now he's trying to find a way out of the debates by saying that the debate schedule is rigged against him, the Democrats or Donald or Hillary Clinton, excuse me. Hillary Clinton is rigging the debates against him. The debates are the debates and their dates are not rigged. The debates were settled. The dates on the debates coming up were settled last year, 2015. This was before Donald Trump was even the nominee. So Donald Trump is just reaching for something, anything, to try to say it's Hillary's fault, it's the Democrats' fault, and he's not going to take it. So he's going to miss the first two or three debates. Simply because he doesn't know crap. That's why he's missing these debates, or he's going to miss them. And he's desperate. Donald Trump is desperate. He's desperate. He knows that the world and his critics are bashing him, attacking him, blasting him for the things that he says. And Donald Trump, there's no doubt about Donald Trump. This guy is a serial liar. All of this and more that I've just spoken about, people are still going to vote for this guy. I know there are some people out there even listening to me, well, I'm going to vote for Donald Trump because he says what we want to hear. He's not a politician. He's not. You're right about that. He's not a politician. He's not human. If you ask me, this guy, he gets away with so much. And the press doesn't really hold his feet to the fire for some of the things he does. Some of the things he says, they report it, but, you know, they, and most of the time they're saying it's pitiful. His wife was on the cover of a newspaper magazine last week, nude. I mean, this, but Donald Trump doesn't seem to mind that. You know, this lady could potentially be first lady, the first lady of the United States, and here she was on the cover of a newspaper naked. And the press jumped all over that. But Donald Trump, like I said before, Donald Trump doesn't seem to mind it. You know, so we're going to leave it at that. But, you know, we cannot have a porno star as First Lady of the United States. That's just my opinion. All right. You've been listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Blog Talk Radio. It's beautiful, folks. Looks like it's going to rain a little. Like I said before, I'm always in my studio, and I have this great big window in front of me. That's why I'm always talking about the weather when my show starts, you know, because I'm saying, wow, it's great weather. If it's messed up weather, I'm going to still talk about it. I'm not a meteorologist or anything. I just talk about what I see and how the weather feels. You know, even in some of my stories, I give a little weather report for whatever the situation is that's going on in that particular story. You know, so Donald Trump is, it says, right, I'm looking at Huffington Post, folks. I'm looking at this, and it says, desperate Don. He's already howling about rigged election. He's saying that it's rigged. This election is not rigged. If anybody's doing the rigging, it's Donald Trump, okay? This man lie as you look at him. This man is, he gets caught in so many of his lies. I mean, he's saying that the NFL sent him a letter about the election. The NFL said, we didn't send you no letter. We didn't send Donald Trump a letter. He never responded to that. And now when he's caught in his lies, when he's caught up in his BS, he's saying that we are taking his words out of context. We are taking his word verbatim. We are hearing what is coming out of his mouth as he say them. You know, nobody's taking anything out of context. It's what he say, straight up say, the words coming out of his mouth. But he's looking for an excuse to try to back down off some of the stupidest stupid ass things that he says on television and at his rallies. Yeah, folks, I'm going to tell you something. I don't like Donald Trump. Okay, I'm not a Donald Trump fan. I don't like him. I may not have a lot of love for Hillary Clinton, but I know damn well that Donald Trump cannot be president of the United States. I know some people out there are going to say, well, George, we ain't going to listen to you no more. But that's just the way it is. This guy is unfit to be president. This guy is unfit to be dog catcher, as far as I'm concerned. Okay, you've been listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show. What we got here? Okay, Donald Trump, this is what I believe this is a quote. I'm afraid the election is going to be rigged against him. So if he loses, it's going to be rigged. If Hillary Clinton gets the most votes and win the election, it's going to be rigged. So he's saying 3 or 4 months out before the election that it's rigged. If he thinks it's going to be rigged, he should get his ass out right now, you know, because this guy is pathetic. Okay. Prepare for a meltdown from the Republican presidential nominee, Donald Trump, if he loses the election. That, folks, if he loses it, it's going to be rigged. The Democrats going to cheat him out of the election. He doesn't think that what he says, his rhetoric, his not knowing anything, not being knowledgeable, knowing nothing about nothing, you know, he doesn't think that that's going to cost him the election. The things that he say, the people that he attacked, the things that he doesn't know. He's never served in the army, the military. None of his kids have. And he blasts and attacks military families. And now if he doesn't win the election, it's rigged. They've cheated him. Give me a. This man is not going to go away quietly. He is not going to go away quietly if he should lose the election, because he's going to blame the Democrats, who have nothing to do with the dates. The election will not be rigged, but if he loses, it's rigged. The man is just, I don't know. What can you say? All right. Donald told reporters on Monday that he feared the election could be rigged, an indication that even if the Democratic nominee Hillary Clinton wins, Donald. Oh, my God. So if Hillary wins, he may not accept her winning because it's rigged. See, he's jumping ahead of himself. If Hillary wins, he's not going to accept it. He's not going to, concede that she won? Who gives a damn if he accepts it or not? If she wins the election fair and square, she will be president. Who gives a shit what Donald Trump thinks? This guy is just, wow, they all around the internet, folks, and the news media, they're making fun of this guy. They're calling him some of everything. I mean, it's just, and he just gets worse. He doesn't get better. Donald Trump doubles down on the stupid. All right. He made the comments while talking about Senator Bernie Sanders of Vermont, who lost the Democratic nomination to Hillary Clinton, who supporters Trump has openly courted. Okay. First of all, I'm quoting Trump. First of all, it is rigged, Trump said at a Democratic primary during a rally in Columbus, Ohio. So if he loses basically to Hillary Clinton, if he loses, he's setting his supporters up to riot, to cause violence if she wins, because he's going to tell, well, if she wins, it's rigged. But if I win, it's not. You know, so he's inciting violence, in my view. He's saying if Hillary Clinton wins, it's rigged. So therefore, his stupid-ass, dumb-ass supporters are going to believe that. And if Hillary Clinton does win, you know, fighting violence, as far as I know. You know, so this is crazy. And I am afraid, I'm quoting Donald Trump, and I am afraid the election is going to be rigged. I have to be honest. Give me a break. This man doesn't have an honest bone in his body. He's a con man. They called him a carnival barker. You know, I mean, he's a con man. Okay, WikiLeaks recently released internal emails from the Democratic National Committee that suggested its staff favored Clinton. Government officials say Russian hackers were behind the breach. This is because Donald Trump told them to hack her emails. And I don't understand why the media, the national media, is not. They're on it. They've mentioned it. It's been talked about. But they haven't really put any teeth in it. Okay, they're letting Donald Trump get away with saying that this is nothing but sarcasm. You don't joke about this. You're going to be the president of the United States. There's nothing funny about this. All right. After sowing seeds of mistrust in the election results, Trump quickly turned to praising himself. Praising himself. It's all about Donald Trump. It's all about him. Him, him. I. You know, as if he's going to run the country all by himself. He says he will run the country all by himself. Forget about the people around him. Forget about the people like us, the voters in the country. He wants to run the country all by himself. Donald. I don't care. Let's say if Donald Trump does become president, he's going to need a Republican Congress to get things through, to get things done. He's not going to – even some of the Republicans don't like him, but they're supporting him. I don't know. That doesn't make sense. But still, some things may not get done. But however, as president, let's say if Donald Trump doesn't get anything done legislatively through Congress, he has the executive office, and that gives him executive powers. He can still do damage. He can still do damage. Especially with the world leaders, he can still do damage, even though he may not get any of his programs. If you think about it, he doesn't talk about issues. He doesn't talk about policies. He doesn't talk about only thing he. I'm going to make America great again. America is already great. I can tell you this. If Donald Trump is elected, America will cease being great. America is great. How in the hell is he going to make America great again? This is the greatest country in the world where you can come and build your own business. You can come and live a life of wonder in the United States. Why do you think so many people come here from other countries? When people are fleeing their homeland, trying to escape bombs and murder, the first place they want to come to is America. Because they know America is great. You have a chance over here of raising your family, owning your own business, picking yourself up by your bootstraps. This is a great country. I wouldn't want to go anywhere else. It's great. It was great before Donald Trump was born. This is a great country. How in the hell is he going to make it great? Donald Trump is not going to make America great. He's going to make America one of the worst places in the world. The thing about it, leaders all over the world are watching the United States, and some of them are just appalled and upset at what they see in Donald Trump. That's a fact. Some of them are appalled at that. Hell, I'm appalled. This guy, I don't want to make this whole show about Donald Trump, believe me, but he seemed to be sapping up the news. He seemed to be taking the air out of the room when it comes to news coverage in the United States. He's all over the social network in a negative way. All right, you've been listening to George Wilder Jr. on Blog Talk Radio. Follow me on Facebook, LinkedIn, Google, Twitter. I'm all over the place. And follow me all on Amazon.com. I got plenty of writings up there. That stuff is really good, folks. We will be right back if we can find this. All right, welcome back to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Blog Talk Radio. Thanks, folks. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks for listening. Thank you for being out there. Thank you for all your accolades about the show. I want to thank all my guests. Speaking of guests, I have an entire month of guests booked for the show. So you guys always tune in for that. I'm not saying they're going to all show up because a lot of times the guests don't show up. I can understand they have other things to do. They forget to put me down on their calendar, put the show down on their calendar, or they, you know, call in at the wrong time or whatever. But the show must go on, folks. The show must go on. And it is totally, totally beautiful, 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 beautiful in the city of Chicago today. And
my son has been arrested for walking while black. So I get it.
A lot of sons have been
arrested. Yeah, I get it. I mean, it doesn't make me, you know, you can't buy your way out of this one. You can't educate your way out of it.
It's happening too much, or at least we know about it now.
It's always happened. We see more evidence of it. And too often people still are inclined to say, well, if he'd had a different attitude, well, if he hadn't been driving, well, if he hadn't been this, if he hadn't been that, almost as if the victim is partially to blame You know, in the case of Garner, well, he shouldn't have resisted. In the case of Brown, well, where was he? In the case of Trayvon, well, he had a hood on, you know, and in the case of whoever, you know, in case of Sandra Bland, you know, well, her attitude was better. It's like, no, stop. Stop. This has nothing to do with the victims. This has everything to do with the culture of demeaning a person of color. And there is no justification for society where my son has a far greater chance of being stopped, held, killed than your son, simply because he's black.
All right, that's powerful. I try, that's a powerful piece right there. Okay, you're listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show. Thank you so much for your accolades. Thank you so much for your input into the show, your calls, everything, folks. I'm just over elated. All right, let's go to the phones. All righty. Okay, you're on the George Wilder Jr. Show. Go right ahead.
Hi, this is Mike Vini.
Oh, Mike Vini. I said Mike Vini. I said, I'm not good at pronouncing names, but you know, I was close.
That's okay.
I was very close. All right, ladies and gentlemen, Mike Vini on the George Wilder Jr. Show, and it's such a beautiful day here in Chicago. Mike, how's it there weather-wise?
Oh, it is very, very humid. And actually, I literally just emailed someone from Chicago because I'm going to be there in September.
Wow, that's great. That's wonderful. All right, tell my audience, tell the listeners, we already know your name. Tell us what. Give us a little bit of your bio.
A little bit of my bio. Well, hello to your listeners out there.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah. I love Chicago. Love to visit whenever I get a chance. I'm actually from New York City. And I get to travel around the country as a mental health speaker and talk about a very uncomfortable subject with people. And I really, really enjoy doing that to help people. And in addition, I'm also a drummer. I do interactive drumming with big groups at conferences. So I always tell people when they ask me what I do, I'm either hitting stuff or talking about my issues.
that's what some of us might call a jack of all trades, you know,
because yeah.
you do some of everything. Okay, let's talk about the mental health. I mean, how do you approach a person who you think may be on the binge?
That's a really good question. And the way I'm going to answer that is all of us, all of you listening right now, if you're in your car, wherever you are, we all have to get more comfortable talking about it. We all just have to make it a normal conversation. So you and I might see each other and talk about our weekend and what we did. We should talk about our mental health the same way. And once we start doing that more as a culture, it'll be much easier to approach someone who we think might be in a crisis.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So when you say mental health, you're saying somebody who can't think as clearly or as rational as someone who is basically logical?
Well, it's a great question, and I'm really, really grateful for that, because I want to clear up something that a lot of times when people think of mental health, they just think of someone who just isn't there at all.
Somebody's
but the
reality
crazy. Is, yeah,
crazy. He doesn't have it. He's lost it.
Right. You know, someone maybe running down the street screaming and yelling, and yes, that kind of stuff can happen. But one thing I want to say when I'm talking about mental health, I'm talking about your thoughts, feelings, and behavior. And if any of those is having a problem, you can have a mental health issue. And statistically, all of us listening right now will have a mental health issue at least one point in our lives. So that could be as simple as depression, which is very common. It could be anxiety, but it could also be something more complicated like schizophrenia. So it can happen to anyone. It does not matter how well you take care of yourself, what family background you come from, how much money you make. It doesn't matter.
Oh, wow. You mentioned depression, and I was just telling some people earlier today, I mentioned that. I talked about it just a little bit because depression is an illness, and that is it's an illness and it's dangerous. It can kill you. You know, I mean,
yes.
Because there are so many people in the United States today and around the world who are just depressed on a daily basis. And mm-hmm. how would you tell someone who is depressed on a daily basis that it can also figure in with their mental health?
Well, you know, one of the things that you don't want to do to someone who's depressed mm-hmm. is start encouraging them to say, think positive, or, you know, it's all in your head, because as you just said, depression is an illness. And some of the symptoms of depression are very interesting. It's a lot of times people who just don't want to get out of bed. You can't get out of bed ever. You know, you can't get your work done. A lot of times people who just have trouble taking care of themselves, their hygiene, there's usually a bigger issue going on there with depression. And it's not like someone's just sitting there crying. So those of you listening, it's not like, you know, somebody who's depressed is just sitting there crying their heart out. You could have a smile on your face and be confident and still
feel
an undertow of sadness. So I think it's really important, if someone is struggling with it, is to maybe approach them very calmly. And I'm a big believer in asking open-ended questions to people. How are you feeling?
Yeah.
What's on your mind? Yeah. That gets people talking.
Yeah, because I'm a stickler of trying to bring people out of their depression, because like I said, it can kill. But what causes depression?
That's a great question. And I want to just say, for the record, I'm not a mental health professional, but I'm a person who lives with depression. But one of the things that I have found that people don't ever discuss is your upbringing. We all have a unique family situation that brought us up. And in those family situations, different dynamics happen that can contribute to our mental health, even if you have wonderful parents that raise you well. The other thing is, things happen in your life. Maybe you lost someone. Maybe you had a bad breakup or whatever. And the other thing is chemical. A lot of times mental health issues are chemical issues, meaning something in your brain that should be producing a certain chemical is not producing enough of it, so you feel sad. So that's why it's important to get help, because you can learn to get to the bottom of what is causing your depression.
And depression and mental health, you cannot, there is no economical value. Anybody can get this disease. It doesn't matter your wealth or if you're living in poverty. It happens to anybody, anywhere, at any time.
No, absolutely. And a funny thing I want to share with you, as you said that, I speak in a lot of corporate events where we are in corporate America. Everyone is trying to be very professional, look good, and put on their best face. And a lot of times, you know, I get up there and I'll tell everyone about my mental health issues. And for the record, for those of you listening, I struggled with mental health issues so badly as a child that I was hospitalized in a psychiatric hospital 3 times. I was expelled from 3 schools for behavior problems, and I tried to take my own life at age 10, which, again, you said it so well, depression is a life-threatening illness. And now I'm doing great, and I talk about my mental health issues on my blog and with everybody.
Good.
But after I speak at a corporate event where everyone's looking all nice and professional, I always get upper-level leaders, like the CEO, vice president, who say to me, hey, can I talk to you privately for a second? And they always have something to tell me about their own mental health that they struggle with it too. Anyone can struggle.
Yeah, you've hit a chord there. You know, you've hit a chord. And that's great. And so, yeah, because mental health illness strikes us all, you know, and it's worldwide. You know, as we're sitting here talking right now, someone's having a mental health breakdown, or someone's depressed, you know, and that's awful. That's totally awful. All right, Mike Vinny on the George Wilder Jr. Show. Do you have a book out? Are you an author?
I don't have a book out yet. I'm actually finishing it up. However, I do have a TEDx talk that I recently did called "Mental Illness Is an Asset." I'm actually up there on stage.
An asset?
It. Yes, it's not a liability. It's an asset. And I talk about why in a very short TED Talk or TEDx Talk. So you can find that if you just type in mental illness as an asset, or you can visit my website at transformingstigma.com.
You know what? You might be right about that, because I've had people on this show who said that they were suffering from mental illness. And you wouldn't think they were suffering from mental illness because they sound just like you or me. They sound like as if they're, you know, just as sane or I shouldn't say sane, but they sound okay. They sound normal, if I can say. But they said they've had mental health breakdowns, and a lot of people call them crazy, and they're doing weird things and whatever. But you know, why is? I guess it can be an asset. Can you explain why do you call it an asset in a few words?
Well, it's all in how you look at it. Perfect example, and I bring this up in my TEDx talk, is Abraham Lincoln, our president. He was known to have depression, and he was a president. But because of his depression, some people say that, you know, him ending slavery was due to his ability to be sensitive and really reflect on issues. So there's an example where depression really came in handy to help change history, you know? And so I think, you know, he could have just said, look, I have depression. I can't handle this issue. Let's leave it to somebody else. You know, we might not have the same outcome. So I think, you know, it's all in how you look at it. I struggle with depression, anxiety. I get very, 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 very anxious. And one of the things that I've learned to do with my anxiety is just enjoy it. And I've learned fast-paced anxiety that used to just stress me out and almost paralyze me actually gives me energy to put in presentations.
Okay.
You know, even before I got on the radio with you, I was feeling a little anxious. I don't know what we're going to talk about, but I said, you know, let that come out. That's good energy.
Wow, that's great. So in other words, you're taking your real life experiences and putting it to work to try to help others with the same situation.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's important to do in life. You know, if you've gone through something, we've all gone through something, right? When you teach others and share your story with others, see, something about stories just connects with people's hearts.
Really, really.
And it's a good way to connect with people and also continue to help yourself.
Are you going to, in the near future, will you be writing a book on this subject?
Yes. So I'm actually in the process of finishing it up. It's been a very busy, busy year. And one of the things that just happened, I'll be totally transparent, is my mom actually passed away last week.
Sorry about that.
It's been a very, very... very, very difficult time, but you know, I'm still grateful that I got to spend time with her, and I did tell her about the book because she was getting on my case about it too. And so,
write a book. I mean, put it out there so a lot of people can, you know, I can talk about it. I can review it for you. I can let some people know where it is, and they can pick that book up. And I'm pretty sure a lot of people like to read and read about things that can help them out in their life situation, you know. So write a book. I mean, put it out there, you know. What are you going to call it? You got a title for it?
I'm probably going to call it Transforming Stigma, the name of my website and my trademark. Because, you know, I think that's really defining what I'm trying to do. I'm trying to make this uncomfortable subject comfortable for people to discuss.
Hey, that's no problem with that. All right, Mike Vinny on the George Wilder Jr. Show. Can you tell us, give us your website and all that kind of thing?
Sure. My website is www.transformingstigma.com.
All right. Hey, you are a drummer.
Yes.
Okay. You like to be the did you find yourself at Lollapalooza this weekend?
No, I didn't. were you at Lollapalooza?
No, I didn't. I didn't go, but you know what it is, right?
Yes, I have. Yeah. I think I remember when it first started, too. I've always wanted to go, but I have not.
They have 1,000 bands there, and, you know, people are out enjoying themselves downtown here in Chicago in Grant Park. It's, I think it's a 3 or 4 day festival where nothing but bands, people playing, people having a good time. And I just thought about it. So when you're doing your drumming, do you just do it for yourself, or do you just try to expand yourself doing that?
Well, you know, it's really interesting. Going back to the mental health thing, it actually relates mm-hmm. to that. I was 10 years old, I started playing the drums in school. And nobody realized that whenever I played the drums, I was happy. But whenever I was away from the drums, I was having mental health issues and behavioral health issues. So the drumming actually became my medication because it was the only thing that made me feel good. So I actually started my career as a professional drummer, doing a lot of work in New York City with just a lot of different independent artists and a lot of corporate work. So for many years, I mean, up until about age 27, 28, I was strictly a drummer. We would have been on the show talking about my drumming, no mental health stuff, you know. So now what I do is not only do I still play the drums, but I also do group drumming where I sometimes have 400, 500, 600 people with instruments, and I lead big corporate events with people drumming.
Wow, that's great. Would you say, I mean, if you compare it yourself with one of these most famous drummers out here, to come to mind, Ringo Starr, Ginger Baker, you know, Eric Clapton. I mean, how would you compare yourself to drummers like those two? Anyway, are you just good or better, or you know? I mean,
They blow me out of the water.
Oh, come on.
To be transparent.
Oh, no. Don't. You don't want to be negative. I mean,
being honest.
Okay. All right, Mike Vinnie on the George Wilder Jr. Show. Would you like a link of this show to put on your website?
I would love that.
Yeah, you can put it on your website. I mean, your fans, I mean, the people that you help can come by and listen to you on this show, and they can get a lot of good advice from you just by, you know, from that link.
Sure.
Okay, no problem. Hey, man, it's been fun. It's been great. Thanks for being on the show, and hopefully we'll talk again. Bye-bye.
Thank you for having me. Take care.
All right, that was Mike Vinnie on the George Wilder Jr. Show. We was having a lot of fun there. All right, we're going to be right back, folks. Stay with me if we can do this.
You are now listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Block Talk Radio.
All right, we're back, folks, on the George Wilder Jr. Show, and I want to say something about the weekend crime in the city of Chicago, folks. It has been, I don't know what to say, because on previous shows, I've tried to tell these guys how to solve the crime problem in the city of Chicago. Maybe some are listening, maybe some are not, but they should all listen, because this is just too much. It is just too much. Something came across my desk, 400 people shot dead in Chicago since the beginning of 2016. 400 people shot dead. Now, I mean, if you just add that up to how many people are just shot in general, I'm talking about the wounded. I mean, it's skyrocketing. And it's been skyrocketing every day since this new superintendent, Eddie Johnson, I believe that's his name, in Chicago, superintendent, has been in office, has been selected. And nothing has gone down since he's been selected. Crime has increased twofold. And it's just crazy. It's just crazy. I've said this before, and I'm going to say this again. The crime in the city of Chicago is getting out of control. And now they're talking about the police officers. I think the police union is saying that they should not do any overtime for the upcoming Labor Day. You know, because they feel that they're not getting respected out here on the streets. So they're going to let crime happen. The police officers. That's what I get out of it. That's what I take from it. You know, so... I don't know what to say. I mean, I try to offer solutions, because this show is about making the world a better place one show at a time. That's what it's all about, making a world a better place, making the world a better place. My son said making a world a better place, if you heard the clip. Anyway, you know, the crime is just out of control. It's just totally out of control. And I don't know. I can say... And that, you know, but I'm not a police officer, so I can talk about this thing on the way. I can help to try to lower the crime, but I cannot, you know, get out here and do it myself, because I'm not a police officer and I'm not, you know, engaged in that type of thing. I don't have the experience for that. Plus, I'm too old, okay? But I can lend my voice. You know, I can get out here and protest like anybody else. And I do that sometimes, but when nothing gets better, you tell yourself, are you wasting your time? You know, and I've said this several times on the show, even 100 shows back, I've said, put the guns down. I've said, stop shooting and killing up the children. Stop killing and shooting up your neighborhood. Stop it. You know, put the guns down. Stop robbing, stop killing, stop shooting. I mean, you can't even get on the train here, you know, without somebody coming up, spraying mace in your face, knocking you on the floor and taking your property. And then there's nothing wrong with riding the subway trains. A lot of people love riding them. I love riding them. But a lot of us are either going to be taken to our cars, or we're just going to ride our bikes, or maybe just walk to get where we want to go and avoid the subway. Subway is a great mode of transportation, especially if you're going to sports games like the Chicago Bears, maybe the Cubs or the White Sox. You know, the subway is good for that. The subway is good for that because it cuts down on traffic congestion. You leave your car at home. But still in all, the bad guys are on the trains, and they know the times of the day to get on the trains. Even though the trains are filled, the trains are inundated with surveillance cameras. But these guys are so brazen, they don't give a damn about surveillance cameras. They want what they want, and they're going to take it, and they're going to get it. They don't care how many pictures are snapped of them, the crooks, the criminals, the thugs. They don't care. they just walking through the train, each car, and robbing people, assaulting and robbing people, and getting away. That's one of the things that gets me. These guys that commit these crimes, blatant crimes, in broad daylight, they get away with it. The police get, oh, well, we don't know who they are. We don't have enough information. We know what they look like. They're always asking the public for help, which is nothing wrong with that, in asking the public for help in finding criminals. But still, the police officers and the police department are supposed to be so much up on new technology. Whether the public helps them or not, they are still obligated and they still get paid to protect everybody in this city. But that's lapsing. It's lapsing. I mean, when you got 400 people shot dead in Chicago since the beginning of 2016, you know, you have to put the blame on the police. You got to put the blame on the mayor. You got to throw some of that on the governor. The governor doesn't seem like he gives a damn what happened. He really doesn't. He mentions crime, but that's about it. I mean, he's not going to shove out any dollars for Trump crime prevention. He's not going to shove out any money to try to keep people safe in these crime-ridden neighborhoods. He's not going to do that. Bruce Rauner is not going to do that, because he's busy trying to lay people off. He's busy. He's pissed off that he hasn't gotten his turnaround agenda through. We have a six-month budget. We don't have a yearly budget. So by January, we're going to be back in the mess that we were in about 2 months ago. And Bruce Rauner still saying that he's a new governor. A year and a half, and he's still saying, I'm new. I don't know what I'm doing. I'm new. You know, so, you know, but it's a shame. It's a shame that crime is just so rampant. I'm pretty sure it's not only in Chicago. I can tout other cities and other states, too, where crime is higher or lower, but it's awful. You just have to, when you're out on the street, you just have to try to protect yourself. You got to watch who's around you. You got to be vigilant. Because I know when we're out there, I know that's what we do. We, especially me, I am totally vigilant when I'm outside and about. And you should too. And the seniors. Oh, seniors. I was listening to this story that there was two, I can't remember what state it was in. It could have been in Chicago. It could have been, because it was on Chicago's news. And this was a frightening story. And this is one of the reasons why I wrote the story, Elder Abuse and the Old Man. If you want to check that out, it's on Amazon. I wrote it, Elder Abuse and the Old Man. It was these two elderly couple. It was an elderly couple, man and woman. Elderly couple. They were in their late 80s or 90s, and they lived out in the plush suburbs. They had a beautiful home, a great looking home, and they were sitting down giving an interview in their house as stuff was being moved out. They had to leave their home, a house of 50 to 60 years. They lived there 50, 60 years, but they had to leave. They were crying. They were crying because they had to leave. They didn't know where they were going to go. They didn't know where they were going to go or what they were going to do. It just so happens that their grandson sold their house without their knowledge. Sold it. The grandson sold the house. He got paid. He had the money. He was paid for the house, for their house, and they didn't know anything about it. So he sold their house, and he left town. He's gone. They can't find him. But the elderly couple, they have to go because the house was sold. That is a form of elder abuse. And that is what I so adamantly written about in this story. It's a riveting story. It's a great story. It's a powerful story. So I would suggest anybody, it's fiction. I would suggest to anybody to pick up that story and read it. It's called Elder Abuse and the Old Man, but it's elder abuse among seniors, elder abuse among those who are, you know, 80, 90, over 100. And the thing about it, as a reporter was saying, the thing about it is that elder abuse comes and it happens by a family member. It's the family member that is putting the elder abuse on the elderly couple. It's a family. It's always somebody they know. And it happens, folks. This happens all the time. Elder abuse by someone else in the family, a younger member. Because I remember the author Anne Rule. I mean, she wrote a lot of books. She wrote, I read her stuff vehemently. She wrote about criminals, how they, you know, from childbirth, how they thought, how they was thinking, why they killed. She wrote a lot of books, maybe over 100. And I had a few and I read them. But there was something deep down secret about her. She was 83 years old when she died. She also was a victim of elder abuse. Her two sons threatened her with abuse, threatened her with nursing homes, I'm sorry, threatened her with kicking her out of the house if she did not give them money. Two sons in their 50s was threatening their mother, who was in a wheelchair. This is all in court documents. This is all over everywhere because Anne Rule was a famous author. And in some ways, from what I understand, she was taking care of her sons anyway. She was giving them $25,000 a year or whatever, but she was giving them money, but they wanted more. They wanted more. The basis of me saying this, folks, is that elder abuse is all over the place. It's all over the place. You just think of it doesn't have to be a nursing home. It could be right there in a person's home or their apartment. And it's devastating. All right, you've been listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Blog Talk Radio. Follow me on Facebook, podcast the show, listen to the show. If you can't listen live, you can always download the show and podcast it. All right, I want to thank my guest once again, Mike Vinny. He was great. You should have heard us laughing at the end if you did. It was all fun, folks. We had a great time. And that's what the George Wilder Jr. Show is all about. Call into the show. I mean, we're just going to have fun, and that's all it's about. We try not to take too many things seriously, but we are about making the world a better place. And that's what it's all about, and that's what it will always be about. All righty. This is a little tidbit from the Democratic Convention.
But I'm good at war. I've had a lot of wars of my own. I'm really good at war. I love war in a certain way.
Please welcome Martin O'Malley from Maryland.
Thank you. My fellow Americans, President of the United States is the toughest job in the world. And I come here before you as a man who knows Hillary Clinton well. I have worked alongside her, and I have competed against her. And I'm here to tell you that Hillary Clinton is as tough as they come. She will stand up to ISIS. She will stand up to the Russians. And with Tim Kaine at her side, she will never stop fighting for our children and our families. Because Hillary Clinton knows when our families are strong, America is strong. Now, Donald Trump, he's a different story. He will not fight for us. He feeds off of economic fears and failures, stirs up false divisions and ancient hates, turns anger into a political weapon. But my friends, anger never fed a hungry child, did it? Anger never protected a family's home or sent a kid to college. Anger never built a great republic. I say, to hell with Trump's American nightmare. We believe in the American dream. We believe, as Hillary Clinton believes, that no American family who works hard should have to raise their children in poverty. Donald Trump, on the other hand, has actually said, quote, wages are too high. Wages are too high. Really, Donald? I'll tell you what's too high. College tuition is too high. I'll tell you what's too high. The cost of childcare, that's too high. The number of American children who live in poverty, that's too high. Donald Trump's opinion of himself, that's way too high. You see, actually, Donald, American wages, in fact, are too low. Our economy isn't money. It is people. It is all of our people. And Hillary Clinton and Tim Kaine will fight to make sure that every family who's willing to work hard can actually get ahead again in America. On climate change, like you and me, and in fact like our children and grandchildren, Hillary Clinton believes in science. She understands that climate change is not only a real threat, it's also the greatest job creation opportunity to come to the United States in 100 years. Now, Donald Trump, on the other hand, does not believe in science. He says, and again I quote, the concept of global warming was created by and for the Chinese. I'll tell you what, if the Chinese were really capable of designing some kind of diabolical farce to hurt America, they wouldn't invent global warming. They'd invent Donald Trump. This much we know for sure. Donald Trump has been a bully his whole life. But here's what I learned in elementary school on the playgrounds. Bullies are really just cowards in disguise. The America we love does not engage in torture. The America we love does not build walls and shameful for-profit prisons. The America we love does not lock up women and children in disgraceful immigrant detention camps. Unlike that immigrant-bashing carnival barker Donald Trump, Hillary Clinton understands the enduring symbol of the United States of America is not the barbed wire fence. It is the Statue of Liberty. And so, my fellow Democrats, anger and fear had their moment last week, but now it is our time. Time to stand up for each other. Stand up for our shared promise. Stand up for the goodness and the hope in every American heart. It's time to put a bully racist in his place and a tough woman in hers. The White House, Hillary Clinton, Tim Kaine, forward together, stronger together. The country we carry in our hearts is waiting.
All right, that was Martin O'Malley.
Please.
Martin O'Malley, folks. Martin O'Malley. All righty, let's talk about Black Lives Matter for a second. I get so sick when people try to frame this group as anything else but being anti-police brutality. That's what they are. They're anti-police brutality. And nobody can tell me anything different. They are not anti-police. They're anti-police brutality. You know, and I think they are a super group. I mean, you know, if someone penetrates the group or try to take the group over who calls for violence on police, that is not a member, a true member, a member of the group Black Lives Matter. And I'm not saying this because I'm in bed with the group. I'm not even a part of it, but I do know that they are not about violence in any shape or form. So I wanted to get that out there. And 347-857-1762. Are you listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show? Miss a show here, you'll miss a hell of a lot. There's no doubt about it. Always great guest on this show. There's no only listen to me if you can. If you can. You know, it's not mandatory or anything, but we try to have fun on the show, and I try to have guests who are fun. Sometimes it gets serious, it gets really serious, and I have to say, wow, cut with the seriousness. But sometimes we have to be serious, folks, because the world is a serious place. The world is a serious place. All right, so you're listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show, WTTTY. It's about 80 degrees over here, 85 actually, near the lake in Chicago, and it's beautiful. It's still daylight. You know, I'm going to hate it when daylight saving time comes around where you got to set your clocks and the days are going to be shorter, you know. And I just love the bright light. It's something about daytime, sunshine, that beats the night, you know. So I'm going to be sitting in my studio and it's going to be dark, you know, instead of sunshine, it's going to be dark at 6, dark. It's actually at 4:30, 4 to 4:30. It's going to be dark. And that's a bummer. That is really, really a bummer. All right. You've been listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show. I did pick up some lottery tickets today, folks. I try to pick up lottery tickets anytime that I can. But these are just normal lottery tickets, lotto tickets. I'm going to have to pick up a mega ticket or Powerball at some point because I feel lucky. I feel as if I'm going to win some money, you know, and I've been playing the lottery for a long time, folks. It's about time for me to win. It's, you know, I need a change of venue, you know, and I'm going to have to check my numbers here. I got 3 tickets here. I'm going to have to check them to see if I've won anything. And even if I am a winner, folks, I will be back on the show tomorrow. I will be back on the show all week because I'm here Monday through Thursday. We're going to take the show. I'm going to take the show. I'm going to give it an extra day. I think around in October, I'm going to expand the show to not just 4 days a week, but 5 days a week. I'm going to do that because I enjoy it so much. I enjoy the guests. I enjoy all the callers, even if some of them are totally ridiculous. Or maybe it's me that's ridiculous. I enjoy every aspect of the show, and by my voice, you can probably tell that. All righty, let's do this. The George Wilder Jr. Show is now on the air. It is all about making the world a better place. Join me.
You are now listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Black Talk Radio.
Yeah, Mike Vinnie and I were, my guest Mike Vinnie, earlier on to the show, on the show earlier today, we were talking about depression. And that's a serious, serious, I've done segments on the show before in the past on depression. And it's a very, very serious illness. So I applaud him for taking his experience and his personal experiences and sharing them with those who are going through some of the same similar things, because the depression is depressing, if you ask me. Okay, depression is your enemy. It can steal your joy and peace. It can become a cloud that casts a shadow over everything in your life. Depression dulls your senses, and causes you to view every area of your life through a dark filter. It can take you down a road of despair and discouragement that only leads to worry, fear, and hopelessness. Some say that depression is a natural response to adverse events or circumstances in our lives. Maybe it seems that way in your life right now, but it doesn't have to be that way forever. Did you know that you can choose to be depressed? You can choose to take, or you can choose to take your life back from depression. Find your joy. Choose to live positive. He's right about one thing. A lot of people say, well, if you're depressed, you know, think positive. No, you can't think positive when you're depressed. Remember, Robin Williams was depressed. He was depressed, and he took his life. There are a lot of people who will take their life because of depression. Something in their life that, you know, that is some trauma-like situation in their life caused them to be depressed. I think the most depressed people in the world are probably older people. The fact that they're old, they can't, you know, the family is not there anymore. They can't do the things that they once did before when they were younger. I think a lot of the people, older people, are depressed. And it is an illness, and it will kill you. So if you're in a depression state, or you know someone else who is depressed, you know, get some help. Get some help, because it is an illness. It's a sickness. It's nothing to play with. I mean, feeling worthless is an illness. Feeling as though you're feeling like a failure. Feeling like you don't deserve any of the things that you've have, or feeling like you do not deserve the things that you have accomplished. That's depression. You know, I mean, and there's no dollar figure on it. You can be there. You can have depression being with money. You can have depression in poverty. It doesn't matter. You know, it's bad either way. It's bad either way. So if you know someone who's depressed, make sure you try to get them some help. Or if you yourself have bouts of depression, check it out before it's too late. All right, this is George Wilder Jr. on the George Wilder Jr. Show. Man, I'm always trying to make the world a better place, and I will continue to do that because this is something that I love doing. All righty. Okay. You've been listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Block Talk Radio. Thank you. Sitting in my studio, relaxing and talking about Donald Trump. And if you notice, I haven't said anything about him. And I'm tired of talking about this guy on my show. I don't want to give him any more publicity than he's already getting. He's getting enough from the national news media. I don't need to give him more, but he's such a – but we have to make sure that he doesn't become president of the United States. Everybody who's anybody is blasting this guy for the way he is. Donald Trump is Donald Trump. Donald Trump is all about Donald Trump and no one else. I mean, we heard all about that at the Democratic convention. We saw that at the Republican convention, you know, and we have to stop this guy. So we're going to have to vote, and then vote. You know, so if you're 17, if you can register your 17-year-old teenager, in some states, 17-year-olds can vote. I mean, they can register to vote, 17. And if you're not registered, make sure you get registered. Be registered. We've got to take this country back. And as I've said before, we got to vote for Clinton. I mean, I'm not with her, but I do know that she'll make a better president than Donald Trump. So we have to get the vote out because of that. And when we do vote, we got to vote in droves. We got to vote in the hundreds and the thousands, even in the millions. We have to vote, folks. We don't just want to beat Donald Trump. We want to annihilate Donald Trump at the polls. He must be beat by a landslide. And he's capable of being beaten. But now he's saying that if he doesn't win the election, it's rigged. You know, I mean, it's rigged. They're cheating. I supposed to won. You know, he's saying if he doesn't win the election, it's rigged. That's a code word for if he doesn't win, he wants his supporters to riot, to cause mayhem, to violence. That's what that's saying, you know, because that's what he's about, violence. if I don't win, it's rigged. So you guys riot, tear up everything. You know, that this is what he's saying. And I know the guys at the top know the same thing. If Donald Trump doesn't win, he wants violence. He's saying this thing is rigged. It's not rigged. He's just an awful candidate, and nobody wants him, and nobody feels as if he's fit, and he's not fit. And he knows he's behind in the polls, so he's saying that the Democrats, Hillary Clinton, rigged it. Nobody's rigged anything. He's trying to get out of the debates. Now he's saying if he loses, it's rigged. The only thing that's rigged is Donald Trump. He will not win this election. He's making up all kinds of excuses. All kinds of excuses. If he loses, it's rigged. He don't want to do the debates because they're on the same night as the football games. This is ridiculous. Okay, folks, you've been listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show. I hope you join me tomorrow. I'm going to be just as vocal today as I have been today. All right, thank you, everybody, for listening, and I hope you join me tomorrow. Tell your friends about the show. All righty, I have to go. Bye-bye. See you tomorrow. That was great. I enjoyed that.